Gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Listen now to the word of our Lord. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the word. Let us pray. The words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't want to cause any of you any stress this morning, but we're just a couple of weeks away from Christmas. So are you ready? Are you ready being ready for Christmas? And really, what does that look like? I read about the class of six-year-olds who were putting on an annual Christmas concert for friends and family. The kids were singing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing with Gusto." And they came to the line, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." And one child, who was the loudest in the group, of course, belted out, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners dressed in style." Maybe you're the type of person who wants a picture-perfect Christmas. God and sinners dressed in style. But you see, the only preparation that we really need, the only thing that will make Christmas real for us, is to prepare our hearts to receive Jesus. A woman named Peggy King shares a kind of heartwarming story of answered prayer one Christmas a few years back. And King and her husband had always participated every year in the toy drive for the local Lions Club, and one year they had collected gifts for 40 children. That's what they were told were coming. But on the way to the Lions Club Christmas party, of course, they learned that there were going to be 60 kids in attendance. Well, of course, they were really sad. They prayed that somehow God would provide for these underprivileged children, but there was no more time to go and get any presents. You couldn't imagine how disappointing some of those kids who were showing up to the Christmas party. But as they walked up to the firehouse where the party was being held, they met a man on the sidewalk. He had come to the firehouse to vote on a local referendum, and King told him that that vote was happening at a different firehouse that day because of the Christmas party. Well, the man asked King and her husband why they looked so sad if they were going to a Christmas party. Well, she told them about their dilemma that the man wouldn't have enough gifts for all the children who were going to come that day. Would you believe the man who showed up at their own firehouse to vote was Major Tom Quigley of the Marines? Major Quigley just happened to be the man in charge of his unit's toys for tots drive that year. A few minutes after the Lions Club party had started, Major Quigley burst through the doors with armloads of gifts. Enough for every child. You see, no matter what your Christmas preparations look like, I hope you experience the love, joy, hope, and peace of God this Christmas season, and of course all year through. This Philippians scripture was written by a man who knew what it was like to have every form of success and comfort and then to lose it all. But he found Jesus Christ. And his writings are full of that love, joy, hope, and peace of God that changed his life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. So how did he do it? How did Paul live with joy and peace under such stressful circumstances? Now, verse 7 in our passage is one of the most popular benedictions or blessings in the church, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul knew God. The God of peace. There are many folks for whom this glitter of Christmas is a reminder not of their wealth as children of God, but as all the poverty they feel in this materialistic culture we live in. As someone has wisely noted, if you and I lost the many blessings that we enjoy and then had them restored, we would have a new appreciation for how much we really have. Yet deep in our souls, many of us are tortured by that demon of discontent. Bishop Kenneth Shannon tells a story many parents, I think, can relate to. When his son, Ken Jr., was 5 years old, he wanted this red truck, red toy truck, I guess, for Christmas. And he talked about red toy trucks. He prayed for red toy trucks. He pointed out pictures of red toy trucks and all the catalogs. His letter to Santa was focused on only that one item, a red toy truck. Well, on Christmas morning arrived, Ken Jr. was overjoyed to receive a red toy truck. He ignored all the other gifts that he had to play with. A few hours later, Bishop Chandler heard of little Ken Jr. crying. He looked for some, found him holding his little red toy truck in one hand and the truck's wheels in the other hand. Poor little guy looked up at his dad and cried, Daddy, my Christmas is broken already. Doesn't your heart just break for that little guy? His whole Christmas was wrapped up in that one gift, a red toy. But you know, we're not so different, are we? Many of us judge our Christmas by external materialistic standards. Is our house well decorated? Have you seen my big Christmas tree lit up in my bathroom? Did we get just the right gifts? Could our Christmas dinner make it the cover of some cooking magazine? All those things fell apart, would your Christmas be ruined? Some of us don't struggle with material poverty at Christmas. Instead, we experience the poverty of spirit, you might say. We need something to put our hope in, something that is more meaningful and lasting than decorations and parties and gifts. See, Christmas is a good time, I think, to remind ourselves that the more we desire has nothing to do with gifts. The more we need has nothing to do with money. For most of us, our true poverty has nothing to do with money or things. Our true poverty is a poverty of spirit. What we really long for, what we really need, what would really make a difference in our lives this Christmas and every day of the year is to know God more. That's the greatest gift of Christmas. The peace of God comes when we know the God of peace. Think about the first Christmas ever. No one, not Mary and Joseph, not the shepherds, not the wise men, not Elizabeth and the Zechariah. No one really understood what God was planning. No one knew what to expect, but they knew the Almighty God had seen them. Had seen them. The great I Am had actually chosen them. They knew the God of peace. So even when they didn't understand God's plans, they still experienced God's peace. At the start of World War II, the city of London was preparing for the bombing raids by the Nazi forces, and the government decided to protect their most vulnerable citizens, their children. And approximately 800,000 children were evacuated to the countryside and placed temporarily with rural foster families for their safety. The government wanted to protect the children from the frightening facts of war, and so they did not tell them why they were being sent away or where they were actually going. And as the children loaded onto these trains, someone asked this young boy, "Where are you going?" The child hesitated, thought for a moment, and he said, "I don't know, but the king knows." Don't you wish you had the faith of this child? In a troubling and very uncertain time, that child found peace in trusting that the king knew where he was going. Advent and Christmas are times when our minds naturally move toward the hope of peace on earth, goodwill toward all. That was the part of the great messianic hope that Isaiah described hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. What did he write? He wrote, "The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will be with them." Every time at this time of year, we rekindle our hope for peace. We look forward to that day when there will be peace on earth. When innocent children will have no reason to fear. We long for peace. Peace within our own hearts, peace within our homes, peace within our world. We long for that peace, O God. For the God of peace. And the peace of God comes when we trust God with our present circumstances and thank God for our future. That's what the Apostle Paul was teaching us in this message. Excuse me. "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul wrote these words, if you didn't know, when he was on house arrest for preaching about Jesus. He had lost everything from his previous life. His status, his religious community, his home, his safety, when he became a follower of Jesus. But his letters reveal this man who was on fire was trembling and completely at peace, even when he faced difficult circumstances and an uncertain future. Why? Because he had met Jesus Christ. Amen. And he knew that he could trust every moment of his life, his present circumstances, his future challenges, to the hands of God who loved him enough to humble himself come in the form of a helpless baby, walk in his shoes, and to die to give him eternal life. So Paul could live with peace in the present, with gratitude for the future. Can we say that this Christmas season? No, with everything going on. Pandemic's still running. Can we say that this Christmas season? A few years ago, a man named Glenn McCarthy stopped by his local Walmart to buy a cup of coffee, and yes, the employees at this Walmart were leading this toy drive for underprivileged children. He wanted so much to help out with the toy drive, but he fought on hard times. In fact, he was homeless. He had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. In those difficult circumstances, I think most of us would be thinking about our own needs. But after he left Walmart, he couldn't stop thinking about those kids who might not get a gift at Christmas. And so he returned to Walmart. He dug down deep into his pockets, bought a few toys, even bought a new bike to donate to those children. And he spent nearly all his money on these gifts. Can you imagine that? He was homeless and sick, spent almost all his money to buy Christmas gifts for children, and he didn't even know. So what inspired him? As Glenn McCarthy said, he said, "This is probably going to be my last Christmas. I'm no one. So might as well make some little kid happy. It took my losing everything to realize that I'm happier now in my life than when I had big money." Please don't miss the purpose of Christmas. God came to bring us peace. And what does that peace of God do? It surpasses, transcends, rises above all understanding, and it guards our hearts and minds. God's peace rises above our circumstances and guards against our fears. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, God promised that he would send a Messiah to save his people. We're just a few days away of celebrating the greatest moment in the history of creation. The moment that when the Almighty God became Emmanuel, God with us. No matter how out of control our lives may feel, God's purposes for us never change. God's promises to us never change. Jesus came to bring us peace. Peace in our lives, peace in our families, peace in our world, and finally, peace with God. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to God. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. And then Paul, at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, makes us this promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I pray maybe so for all of you this Christmas. May you know the peace of God. The God of peace.